This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Pure opportunity. It's what Michigan is all about. The opportunity to do more. The opportunity for all businesses to reach their full potential. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to discover all the ways the MEDC is helping Michigan thrive.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Reversal complete. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Nicole Murray. On this Thursday, May 2nd, glad you could be with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
State senators in Arizona followed their colleagues in the House by repealing a 160-year-old abortion ban that was recently revived.
Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is forcing a vote next week on the ouster of House Speaker Mike Johnson.
Saying inflation progress has stalled, the Federal Reserve is leaving interest rates unchanged.
And people willing to make more than one stop to save on groceries.
People are shopping all over town, sort of a throwback to the pre-supermarket era, in order to find the best deals. They aren't accepting that the one-stop shop will yield anything even closely resembling something in their budget.
Rachel Wolf at the Wall Street Journal on families changing behaviors as inflation eats into household budgets. It's been quite the period for protesters on many of America's college campuses. Groups of protesters opposing each other battled yesterday at UCLA, punching, shoving, and kicking each other, even using sticks to beat one another. The clashes in Southern California took place around a tent encampment built by pro-Palestinian protesters who erected barricades and plywood for protection, while counter-protesters tried to pull them down. That was hours after New York City police arrested students at Columbia University who had occupied an academic building, paralyzing the school. Mayor Eric Adams.
We're going to protect our city from those who are attempting to do what is happening globally. There is a movement to radicalize young people.
Back to the West Coast for just a minute. CNN reporting this morning that law enforcement has been seen entering an encampment on UCLA's campus now. Elsewhere, the Arizona Daily Star says police and protesters clashed at the University of Arizona's campus in Tucson. Across the country, there have been confrontations with law enforcement and more than 1,000 arrests. 1 month after the Arizona Supreme Court revived a 160-year-old ban on abortion, the state legislature has repealed the law. Two Republicans joined with Democrats in the state Senate yesterday, a week after the state House also voted to roll it back. It's an issue where Republicans feel vulnerable, especially in a battleground state for this year's presidential election. Democrat Eve Birch.
I don't want us honoring laws about women written during a time when women were forbidden from voting because their voices were considered inferior to men.
Republican Senators Shona Bollock and TJ Shope crossed party lines to advance the measure. Both are seen as Democratic targets in this year's election. Bollock is also married to one of the Supreme Court justices who voted to reinstate the ban. The law revived from 1864 hasn't even gone back into effect yet, so the state's 15-week abortion ban is still the law of the land. Arizona voters are also expected to consider at least one ballot measure to expand access beyond 15 weeks. House Republicans could revisit some turmoil again next week. Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene will move forward with plans to force a confidence vote on Speaker Mike Johnson, despite assurances from Democratic leaders to step in to block the effort should it come to the House floor. Here's Cami Mondo, Congress reporter at the Washington Examiner. Cami, what's up here?
Yeah, so as she's been saying for over a month when she first filed the motion to vacate, you know, she's been very disappointed with what Johnson's been doing as Speaker over the last 6 months. But she kind of pointed at, you know, three different things that he's done recently that's really been setting this into motion. First is the way that he handled the appropriations bills. Obviously, we saw the way the House voted on that was in two separate appropriations packages instead of through individual votes on all 12 bills. Second, she was not happy with the way that he handled the FISA bill. Republicans are upset with the fact that he voted against an amendment that would require warrants for searches. And so then the last one was how he handled the foreign aid package that passed just 2 weeks ago that allowed aid to go to Ukraine. So those are the three main things that she mentioned. This is something that's been growing for a couple of months, but those are the three main triggers that she cited that she's moving forward with it next week.
I think she used the phrase, "I'm excited about it." Does that mean like it's personal?
Right. It's interesting because a lot of people don't see, you know, everyone kind of concedes in the fact, even Marjorie Taylor Greene herself said that this is likely to fail on the floor. You know, you see Democrats are saying they're going to vote to table this motion, and you see that a lot of Republicans are against this motion. But it seems that she's excited to get people on the record about it. You know, she wants to see Democrats voting to save a Republican speaker. She wants to see some of her Republican colleagues, you know, get pushed in the corner on this. And so she's excited to see, you know, getting people on the record, getting their votes out there. And so it's not entirely clear, you know, if this will work at all, but she is excited about the notion that she's going to be pushing almost everybody in both parties into a corner.
What kind of support does she have, at least on the Republican side? Because Democrats have said they'd provide cover.
Right. So far, only Representative Massey and Gosar have publicly supported, you know, they've co-sponsored the resolution. Massey and Green say that they have a lot of support behind closed doors, that Republican colleagues are telling them that they would support this motion to vacate. But, you know, Republican lawmakers that I've talked to, a lot of them say that they aren't really convinced. You know, they don't want to go through the whole process of having to elect another speaker. They don't want to have to go through ousting a second speaker in only 6 months. And so it's not entirely clear whether there is that support to actually, you know, boot Johnson from the top spot.
We're speaking with Cami Mondo, congressional reporter at the Washington Examiner. Her story is called "Marjorie Taylor Greene Moves Ahead with Vote to Oust Johnson Despite Democrats' Rescue Plan." What about the reaction from House Speaker Mike Johnson here?
Yeah, so Mike Johnson responded pretty soon after Marjorie Taylor Greene said she'd move past it next week. It's a very short statement. You know, all he said was, you know, he just doesn't believe that this is the right thing for Congress. He doesn't think this is the best thing for the Republican Party. You've seen other Republican leaders say, you know, trying to push MTG off of this ledge. You know, they think it's harmful if they want to keep their House majority next year. But Mike Johnson has been pretty defiant that he's not going to resign, he's not going to step down, and that he thinks a motion to vacate would just be a bad idea.
Yeah. Is Marjorie Taylor Greene's credibility on the line here in any way? Like if she were to lose big or win?
There are questions about what her credibility could mean in, you know, Trump circles and the whole MAGA world. Because as we've seen, former President Donald Trump has come out in support of Mike Johnson. You know, he's saying that this motion to vacate isn't a good idea, that Mike Johnson's doing the best job that he can. Marjorie Taylor Greene's kind of pushed back on that a little bit, saying that her and Trump are still very closely aligned. But it does call into question, you know, whether Marjorie Taylor Greene will still be taken seriously in Trump circles, whether Trump allies on the Hill and elsewhere will want to bring her into conversations, because she is, you know, openly going against what the former president is saying.
Boy, I mean, it's such a slim margin to work with for Republicans, right? I mean, that majority is so small.
Right. Right now, it's historically small. You know, after Micah Gallagher left just the other week, they're down to a one-vote majority. So if all Democrats did vote to table, I know there could be a few Democratic defections here and there, but really they're working with a one-vote majority. And so very slim. Marjorie Taylor Greene might not have the numbers, and I think she acknowledges that, but I think she just wants to get people on the record on whether or not they want to oust him.
Thanks, Cami. Cami Mondo, Congress reporter at the Washington Examiner. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now. That's Dell.com/welcome to now. Thanks for joining us. As expected, the Federal Reserve is holding interest rates steady and indicated at the conclusion of yesterday's meeting that it is still leaning towards eventual reductions. However, the central bank says recent disappointing inflation readings could mean that rate cuts won't happen anytime soon. Indeed, Fed Chair Jerome Powell said that after starting 2024 with 3 months of faster than expected price increases, it will take longer than previously expected for policymakers to become comfortable that inflation will resume the decline towards 2% that had cheered them through much of last year.
Inflation has eased substantially over the past year, while the labor market has remained strong. And that's very good news. But inflation is still too high. Further progress in bringing it down is not assured. and the path forward is uncertain.
U.S. central bankers still believe the current policy rate is putting enough pressure on economic activity to bring inflation under control, even if inflation is simply moving sideways in the meantime. 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Here's Nicole Murray.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Arizona Senate has voted to repeal the state's 1864 ban on abortion. Governor Katie Hobbs says she will sign it into law quickly.
I am glad that they finally did the right thing and overturned this, or voted to repeal this draconian ban. I'm looking forward to getting it to my desk and signing it and getting rid of this ban once and for all.
Arizona currently bans abortion after 15 weeks and 6 days of pregnancy.
Number two.
At least 15 protesters have been injured after violence broke out between dueling groups of protesters at UCLA. Associate Life Sciences Professor Bharat Venkat says outsiders have made the situation uncontrollable.
It's not the students. They are committed to nonviolence. They're committed to kind of peaceful protest. It is these folks coming from outside who are committed to violence.
Meanwhile, police and protesters have also clashed at the University of Arizona.
Number three.
A judge has ruled that Harvey Weinstein will be retried sometime after Labor Day for allegedly raping actress Jessica Mann in 2013. Weinstein will remain in custody until the trial. Six people have been injured, including four children, after a shooting occurred outside an apartment complex in Fort Worth, Texas. Fort Worth Police Chief Neil Noakes on the drive-by shooting.
It makes me sick to my stomach. You know what? It pisses me off. It pisses me off. I've said many times it makes me angry. I am mad. I'm pissed off.
A suspect is not in custody. Ford is recalling nearly 243,000 Maverick small pickup trucks because the tailgate lights may not illuminate. Dealers will update software to fix the problem at no cost to vehicle owners. You can stay in the house from up, balloons and all. Located in New Mexico, the Airbnb is an exact replica from the movie, down to the book telling Ellie's life story. Airbnb has even topped the house with 8,000 balloons, and it floats in the sky using a massive crane.
Ah, clever.
Get rocked to sleep, maybe?
Nice. Right. Oh, yes.
Are you afraid of heights?
Like, no.
So you would go for something like this?
Yeah. You?
I feel like I might be jumpy when it's time to go to sleep.
As a business owner, you have necessary expenses, but some quick math might reveal that you're spending on items that are narrowing your profit margin. Get a smarter business plan with NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system. You have access to accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR all in one platform. With NetSuite, everything can be accessed in the cloud from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, and you improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how your company can benefit from NetSuite. Visit netsuite.com/Gordon. NetSuite has proven ways to cut costs and boost performance. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. netsuite.com/Gordon. That's netsuite.com/Gordon. Thanks for joining us. Harking back to the days before supermarkets, Americans are dividing their food shopping among more stores to save money. Rachel Wolf, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, says treasure hunt grocery shopping is the latest example of consumers changing their behavior in response to the higher prices in our lives. Rachel, what have you found?
People are shopping all over town, sort of a throwback to the pre-supermarket era, in order to find the best deals. They aren't accepting that the one-stop shop will yield anything even closely resembling something in their budget.
Oh my goodness. What is the status of like grocery prices these days compared to, say, several years ago?
Yeah, it's a bit of a nightmare shopping for groceries these days. Groceries are up over 20% in 3 years. So lots of sticker shock there. And people say that shopping around is a way to find deals and to feel like they actually are getting value at a time when that has become more difficult than ever.
All right. So you spoke to this woman, Lauren Aguirre in Tampa, Florida. Her process is what?
Lauren has become super, super intense about her grocery list and meal planning for her family of four. So she said that every Sunday she sits down at her kitchen table and takes stock of what's in the pantry and what she needs to buy for the meals that she's planned out that week. And then she charts out all the different places that she'll need to go to get these to get these ingredients based on what's on sale, who sells what. Some brands are only available at certain stores. Something is going to, you know, be on sale. And she said she's even turned it into a little bit of a game with her two young daughters. She said she never really paid attention to coupons before, and now she's like a fiend and recently saved $60 or something at the grocery store and said that her and her daughters were screaming at checkout because they were so excited.
So the places she goes might include what, for example?
So she goes all over the place. They try to keep the family grocery budget under $250 a week. And so she'll go to Costco, Target, Publix, Sprouts, often others. And the idea is that she's only able to get some things at certain retailers, because even if Target has the same item, if it's available for less elsewhere, she won't buy it.
We're speaking with Rachel Wolf, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. She's got a good story called "The Era of One-Stop Grocery Shopping is Over." In fact, we're making 8% more trips. Factoring in gas and maybe time on the road, is it worth it?
You know, I think that the time question is more important than gas here. Generally, people aren't. I mean, that's actually not true. Some people are traveling far distances in order to get groceries, including a flight attendant I spoke to who now does his grocery shopping abroad and fills half his suitcase with groceries that he says are cheaper overseas, which that's an extreme example. I spoke to another family, though, who just takes advantage of trips to, they have a second home in the Berkshires, and so they'll get groceries there or go visit the in-laws out in Long Island because they live in New York City and groceries, they say, are so much more expensive there. So there, they're kind of like looping grocery shopping in with trips that they were going to do anyway. As far as just driving around town, as far as I can tell, it's more of a time thing than a money thing, where people are willing to sacrifice their time in order to save a little bit of money.
It's Rachel Wolf at the Wall Street Journal.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Cutting through the clutter to bring you the people and stories that matter to you. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning, with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday, May 2nd. Gordon Deal with Nicole Murray. Some of our top stories and headlines. Police have entered the UCLA campus to break up an encampment. 90 arrests at a Dartmouth College protest. Arizona lawmakers reverse a 160-year-old abortion ban. Georgia's Marjorie Taylor Greene forcing a vote to oust House Speaker Mike Johnson. Self-taught guitar great Duane Eddy, who influenced Hendrix and Springsteen, among others, has died at 86. University of Houston will wear powder blue jerseys defying the NFL, which feels they're a ripoff of the old Houston Oilers uniforms. And the missing emotional support alligator. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built in Michigan. Discover how the Michigan Economic Development Corporation can help your business thrive at michiganbusiness.org/radio. We live in perilous times, right? Wars threaten, chaos abounds, and doom lurks. Actually, no. We live in more or less normal times. So says Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. Rick, explain.
It turns out things aren't really all that bad on a historical basis. What got my attention here was some researchers at Citi. They're trying to figure out, well, how much geopolitical risk do we really face? And they're trying to do that for investors who have to think about, should I position my portfolio defensively? Am I overexposed to risky stocks or things like that? And they looked at this thing called the geopolitical risk index that some economists from the Federal Reserve developed. It goes all the way back to 1900. So it's got 124 years of data. And guess what? We are in the normal zone right now.
Wow.
According to this risk index, things are a little, there's a little bit more geopolitical risk than the historical average, but not much. And, you know, this flared in 2022 when Russia invaded Ukraine. It flared again in last fall when Hamas attacked Israel and that war began, which, of course, is still ongoing. Both of those wars still ongoing. But in the immediate aftermath, you know, in terms of global markets, I mean, it's kind of remarkable, really. They're really energy markets got disrupted in 2022, but the markets worked that out. There were a lot of workarounds, and the energy keeps flowing. And concerns about a broader Middle East war that might disrupt oil supplies, I mean, that's the big worry.
Yeah.
That also has not happened. So, you know, I'm not trying to say everything is great, because there are definitely disturbing things going on in the world. But I think the important takeaway for me, Gordon, is markets and economies are very resilient. And that is something at least we can be thankful for.
We're speaking with Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. His piece is called "The World Isn't as Messed Up as You Might Think." Somebody in your story referenced recency bias. Explain that.
Yeah. We did happen to have a pretty calm period in terms of all the sorts of things we're talking about here, global wars or countries threatening each other, trade battles and things like that. It was actually pretty calm in the aftermath of the Great Recession, which ended in 2009. From 2009 until about really until about 2022, when Russia invaded Ukraine, things were pretty calm. Now, of course, we had the COVID pandemic. That doesn't qualify as a geopolitical. It wasn't a political event.
Okay.
It was a pandemic, obviously. So this risk index doesn't measure that. So that doesn't show up. But it was pretty calm for that, you know, call it 12, 13 years. And, you know, that's probably what people compare the current situation to. I mean, most people don't say, well, there are wars in Europe right now, but it's not as bad as World War II. I mean, we hardly have anybody living who remembers World War II, and that's just not a typical frame of reference. I mean, but, you know, I mean, it does pay to look back. I mean, we've had a lot of turmoil in the last 50 years. We had the 9/11 terrorist attacks. We've had other problems. We had the war in Iraq. We had the war in Afghanistan. And for everything that's going on in the world right now, American troops are not, for the most part, involved in those wars. So, you know, as much as we might get disgusted looking at the news, it could be a lot worse.
It's interesting. What was the point you made about the Vietnam War?
Well, that did not create a spike in this geopolitical risk index. And, of course, that was a terribly tumultuous time for the United States and, of course, for Vietnam. But I think the reason that that did not really move the needle on this risk index is it just did not affect the global economy in any way. And what's interesting is the wars in Israel, the Arab-Israeli wars, did move the index, including, you know, the Six-Day War in 1967 was literally only 6 days, and that was a decisive Israeli victory. But that created a jump in the geopolitical risk index for the same reasons people are concerned now, because of concerns that it would affect the flow of oil and energy supplies in the Middle East. So we've seen this movie before, Gordon.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it's easier than ever to get scammed these days, especially if you're not tech savvy. Thankfully, one British woman was saved by her granddaughter after being duped into thinking that she was texting with actor Robert De Niro. tomorrow. 76-year-old Gina Morgan reportedly got into a lengthy chit-chat on Facebook with someone posing as the Hollywood star. Gina didn't seem to be fazed that the username was Robert De Niro Page, or that he was trying to peddle membership cards, not unlike a scam that might have been pulled off by the actor's character Jimmy Conway from Goodfellas. Turns out the scammers were trying to get the senior citizen to shell out $500 for a VIP fan card that would falsely promise access to De Niro. Thankfully, Gina's granddaughter caught wind of what was happening and convinced her that she was not, in fact, having a conversation with the Oscar winner, though the granddaughter suspects that her nana would have figured out the scam before sending fake De Niro any money or personal information.
Oh, really?
I don't know about that.
Well, she's already having the convo with him, really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, once you kind of get sucked in there, I think it's pretty easy to pull out the credit card.
It's scary, though.
Oh, yeah. Scary.
My mom even just texts me sometimes like, hey, honey, does this look real? And she'll just send a snapshot of, like, you know, mail that comes in or
right,
something.
Right,
I know, that's, you know, that's junk, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Occasionally she said, hey, I got this text. No.
Yeah.
Delete.
I got fooled myself just a couple of years ago on one of those things. It showed up in my email. It was one of those, you know, reset your Amazon password things or something along those lines. Like, your account's going to be locked. And I don't know what I was thinking. I must have been delirious that day and actually fell for it, kind of got halfway through it and realized it was a scam. And then, you know, was kind of nervous for a long time after that, thinking that all my information was out there. So, yeah, almost anybody can be fooled by this stuff.
Scammers are great. Yes. I hate to admit it. Yep.
And Dollar Hot Dog Nights at baseball stadiums can be a dicey proposition. On one hand, it's a fun way to draw in a bigger crowd on a weeknight. On the other hand, having easy access to that many dogs can lead to some problematic behavior from fans. We've already seen the Philadelphia Phillies revise their Dollar Dog Night into a buy one, get one free promotion after food fights and hot dogs that ended up on the field. Flash forward to this week as the New York Mets tried their own version of the promotion, selling over 44,000 hot dogs during a game against the Chicago Cubs, a record number for Citi Field, and more than two for every fan who was in attendance.
What?
Yeah. However, one fan had to be escorted from the stadium after being pelted with hot dogs by other fans, though he didn't seem to mind the barrage. He also kept a tally of how many he ate and how many beers he drank on his t-shirt. Pictures showed the tally read 9 hot dogs and 10 beers were consumed. Certainly a busy night for that fan.
Wow.
Yeah.
So more than 2 hot dogs for every fan?
Yes. At least half of which were thrown at this guy, it appears, from the video.
I looked like maybe I think what you suggested, like he was sort of encouraging them.
Yes.
And they were so, like, tossing the hot dogs at him so he could add to his total.
Yeah.
I don't know what was happening.
I'm not sure how many beers exactly he was in. Well, he must have been 10 beers in at that point because he was thrown out immediately after.
Yep.
So once you're on your 10th beer, anything goes, I suppose, at that point.
You can get served 10 beers?
I guess if
you're visiting different
vendors.
Yeah,
right. You just kind of like do a lap around to the different vendors. Sure. Why not?
Hey, it's Gordon Deal, and if you're tired of eating the same meal, do what I did and try Factor. Factor brings you chef-crafted gourmet meals ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from over 35 weekly menu options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Factor's ready-to-eat meals mean no prep and no mess, using the most premium ingredients like truffle butter, shrimp, asparagus, broccolini, and filet mignon. Customize your plans to fit your life. Pause or adjust deliveries anytime. Head to factormeals.com/deal50 and use code DEAL50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. Plus, look for the badge to find your favorite low-carbon footprint meals. Again, code DEAL50 at factormeals.com/deal50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Factormeals.com/deal50 with code DEAL50. Factormeals.com/deal50.
We don't take sides. We deliver the information you need to start your day. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
As you know, time is precious. Here's a survey from Empower to back up that claim. Empower asked 2,200 adults how much money they thought an hour of their time was worth. On average, Americans valued their time at $240 per hour. And based on a standard 40-hour week, that puts their perceived value at nearly $500,000 per year, or nearly 8 times higher than the average U.S. salary of $59,000. Millennials, those born between 1981 and 1996, placed the highest value on their time, saying an hour was worth $329.
Broadly, time is so precious that 26% of Americans say they would take a 15% pay cut for more free time. And perhaps the Amazon effect here, 36% say they'd rather pay more to get an item delivered instead of driving 10 minutes to get it. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Nicole Murray.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The central bank has decided to hold interest rates steady. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell said officials need greater confidence that the worst of inflation is behind us.
In recent months, inflation has shown a lack of further progress toward our 2% objective, and we remain highly attentive to inflation risks.
Interest rates currently range between 5.25% to 5.5%.
Number two.
Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene has announced she will call for a vote next week to oust House Speaker Mike Johnson.
He voted to fight against Democrats, fight against the witch hunt against President Trump. But once he became Speaker, he has become a man that none of us recognize.
Democrats said they will vote to kill the effort and save Johnson's job.
Number three.
300 people have been arrested at protests occurring at Columbia University and the City College of New York. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
They have the right to peacefully protest as long as it's within the law and that it's peaceful. Forcibly taking over a building is not peaceful. It's just not.
Police will maintain a presence on Columbia's campus through mid-May. A 14-year-old male suspect is dead after an active shooter was reported outside a Wisconsin middle school. Police said the teen had approached the school with an armed rifle. A vehicle associated with the suspect is also being searched by bomb technicians. Martinelli's has voluntarily recalled its apple juice that was sold at Publix, Target, Whole Foods, and more after it tested for arsenic levels higher than FDA standards. The advisory applies to bottles with a Best Buy date of March 9th and 10th of 2026. 3 in 4 Americans say that tipping culture has gone too far. Domino's thinks it has the answer. The pizza giant is launching a You Tip, We Tip promotion that runs through mid-September. Every order with a $3 or more tip will get a $3 credit for a future online delivery order.
Okay, I'm listening.
Right. I feel like we're getting tricked into tipping here.
That could be too. Too much is too much at times. Let me introduce the sports fans to Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million active members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. On Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Here come the NBA and NHL playoffs, plus MLS soccer is underway, right? So maybe on a single entry, you choose LeBron James for more than 23 points, Connor McDavid for less than 3 assists, and Lionel Messi for more than 1 goal. You can now win up to 100 times your money. With as little as 4 correct picks, you can turn $10 into $1,000. Download the app today and use code DEAL for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code DEAL on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app and use code DEAL for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Glad you're with us, a Pennsylvania man who credits an alligator named Wally for helping relieve his depression, said he is searching for the reptile after it went missing during a vacation to the coast of Georgia. Joey Henney has thousands of social media users following his pages devoted to Wally, the 5.5-foot-long gator he calls his emotional support alligator. Wally's popularity soared to new heights last year when the gator was denied entry to a Philadelphia Phillies game, you might recall. The Associated Press says now Henny is distraught after Wally vanished while accompanying him on an April vacation in Brunswick, Georgia. He said he suspects someone stole Wally from a fenced outdoor enclosure 11 days ago. In social media posts, Henny said pranksters left Wally outside the home of someone who called authorities, resulting in his alligator being trapped and then released into the wild. The Georgia Department of Natural Resources confirms a gator in the Brunswick area was released in a remote location, but stressed that it doesn't know if the reptile was Wally. Find Wally. That'll do it for this hour. For Nicole Murray and Mike Gavin, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
What does the future of mobility in Michigan sound like? It's the sound of new EV charging stations at our state parks. Discover all the ways MEDC is driving next-gen mobility in Michigan at michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now. That's Dell.com/welcome to now.